joking, I'm joking. We do have some people missing, still a result of the flooding. It's pretty different to have to travel around in kayaks and canoes for a week. Isn't that crazy? That's got to be pretty, to my son, who's 9 years old, that's exciting, you know. But to people who are actually living in it, it presents a number of challenges. Man, so this week I was trying to, trying to live and keep everything going and helping people out and getting things decently cleaned up here. And at the same time, I have to get a word from God. God, what do you want to share with your people here this Sunday? And I felt led to share about some strategies. Anybody cool with a couple strategies? Specifically talking about when you're in a storm. I was very amazed at social media as well as the news and how much preparation went into the storm. It stayed in the Atlantic Ocean for about 6 months. Did it feel like it felt like it sat even at the bottom southwest corner of Florida for days. I'm like, would you just hurry up and do something? Who's pressing pause on the forecast, you know? But I'm excited because there's so much preparation that went into it. I mean, a lot of people evacuated more than ever, more than normal. That was very nice. You had, oh my goodness, I'd love to see Alachua County's profits this week. Amen? I wish I owned a gas station or three. But think about it, how much preparation went into it. I mean, I started on Tuesday of last week. Got all the gas cans filled up, bought some extra gas cans, filled those up, got water. You know, we have a well, so I really wasn't freaked out about not having water. Got the generator cranked up, got my pigtail wire connected to the breaker, ready to flip-flop and rock and roll, you know. And this started on Tuesday, so by the time Wednesday was there, I'm like, what do I do? I'm all done. Then I noticed, well, you got to clean up your Sanford and Son yard because you don't want all your junk flying across Alachua and chopping people's heads off, right? So I had my kids out there, and we prepared. We tied stuff down. We ratchet stuff. I mean, we just did our best. But think about all the things you got to do for survival in such an issue or a catastrophe or a monstrosity as Big Irma. You know, you want to have extra batteries, right? You want to have gas. You want to have water. You want to have enough food to last a week. God, how many of y'all ate like hogs? Y'all don't judge me for real. You put me in a building, the pantry will be empty. That's just how it is. That's just how it is. I gained that. I'm blaming all these pounds on Irma. How many of y'all got some Irma fat? I knew I was talking to the right people. Good, good. But you got flashlights you want to get ready. We have no FM radio in our home. I mean, literally, Saturday nights, I'm like, I need to hear what's going on. They got tornadoes. I need to hear this thing, you know? So I'm like, anybody have an FM radio in the house? And Naomi's like, yeah, I got this Bluetooth thing. I'm like, but does it, like, pick up the radio? Yes, Dad. I never thought in my life I would have to search for an FM radio. Is that how advanced we've gotten with electronics? Think about that. So anyway, we had the little FM radio, and we listened to one local station out of Gainesville, WUFT or FW something, FR. I don't know what it was, but they brought me peace all through the night, and it was nice. But just some of the things we have to get ready for survival. You want to turn your Bible to Acts 27. I'm going to give you four storm survival strategies. They're going to be simple. It should not cost even a dollar. You guys excited about that, right? We can prepare for a storm and it won't cost us a penny, actually. Acts 27. You'll find that as you land there in Acts 27, you know, Paul and a few good men, they are heading out onto the Mediterranean in a huge wooden slat boat. How many of you guys have ridden, like literally ridden in a wooden slat boat in a large body of water? No one. I'm the only one? Wow. When I was a kid, a cousin of mine took us fishing in the Gulf. And this nice little bow rider boat, it had twin Evinrude 35s on the back, and the boat was wooden slats. And I'm like, this thing is made out of wood, like there's slats, like siding of a house. And I was so worried that it would just fall apart. How many of you guys know that Jaws will mess you up as a kid? You know what I'm saying? And then when I was in Haiti a few years ago, this guy took us for a ride, hand paddling his wooden boat, and we got in, and I see little containers that are used to, you know, bail water out, and I see pieces of denim jean with tar squeezed up in holes on the bottom of the boat. And I'm like, how deep is it right here? Oh, it's about 40 feet. And I was like, let's stay a little closer this way, you know. But I really didn't feel good about that. But if you go to Acts 27, you'll find that they are beginning to head out into a storm unexpectedly. In some essence, I kind of, you know, my wife, she was in Lake City and, you know, working, and she's like, oh my goodness, you know, so many people going crazy, like Walmart is chaos. I'm like, you can thank the media for that. I mean, I love the preparation. We did really good with preparing for the storm, but just tell us it's coming. Tell us it's going to be here roughly on a certain day. Leave us alone. Can I get an amen? It's like nonstop. And you're like, man, it's taking forever. I think about the people back, like Indians. How did they handle Floridian hurricanes back then? You know, they just see a couple raindrops coming, a crazy looking cloud, and they don't know Irma's packing a punch, right? But anyway, let's go to 27. They get out in the boat. Okay, so when a gentle wind began to blow, they saw an opportunity to travel. Isn't that funny, right? So a gentle south wind began to blow, and they saw the opportunity, so they weighed anchor. This is verse 13, chapter 27. Weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Doesn't that sound like a nice little journey? Just enjoying getting off the island a little while, off land, and just cruising with the wind and the breeze and along the shore of Crete. And Crete is this island, kind of like almost central of the Mediterranean, but it's a pretty good size. Verse 14 says, before very long, this would be my luck, before very long, a wind of hurricane force comes out of nowhere called the nor'easter, swept down from the island. Verse 15, the ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it, and we were driven along. How many sailors do we have in this church? Keep your hands down. How many sailors do we have in here? We have, it's a laughing joke matter, I guess, with Drew and Crystal. They've always wanted a sailboat, and they bought one. And he's like, man, where should we try? I'm like, not Santa Fe River. Maybe like Lake Santa Fe. That's a good idea. So they read a couple, you know, Google comments and blogs, how to sail a boat, and they get out there, and it was a gentle breeze. They just thought they were going to let the breeze take them, and man, this is romantic, and just go straight, and they went straight down, like capsized, threw them over, messed up their bodies. It was crazy. Couldn't flip the boat back over. How many of you guys are excited about owning a sailboat? I know where they have one for a really, really good price. So if you don't know how to sail, you may want to go with someone who does and also wear two life jackets, amen, and a helmet. If you're going with this family here, a helmet, like skateboard gear, you know what I'm saying, amen? So the ship was caught by storm, and they could not head into it, so the wind, they gave way to it, and they were driven along. So they had no choice. They were being driven along. Skip over to verse 18. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. You really get nervous when you got to get rid of the goods that you have in your boat. You have some large concerns, great concerns. In verse 19, it says, on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, according, if you read further, I think it's around 14 days that they were in this hurricane storm. That's a long time. So it says right here, the stars and sun didn't appear for days, and the storm continued raging. We finally gave up all hope of being saved. How many people identify with that? I'm in a wooden boat, no motor. The sails are not going to do us any good. This hurricane has been on us for 2 weeks. How many of you guys would give up? Like, I'm done. Stick a fork in me. I'm done. Somebody throw me overboard because I'm too chicken to jump. You know, just end this misery. I want to give you some points. I want to give you some strategies on how to handle storms. You know, what I see when it says that we finally gave up all hope of being saved. And I know we just recently went through a physical storm, but I want us to really keep in mind that spiritual storms happen in our lives daily, monthly, weekly. So when I talk about storms or different ways that we react to storms, we plan for storms, we strategize in surviving storms, I want us to think spiritually. And think about how many Christians, how many believers in Christ actually give up when the storm hangs around a little too long. Isn't that something? Like, you may have been someone that other people in your church or your family looked up to, and they said, man, I wish I could be as strong as you. Like, you are such a strong believer. And you're like, you don't know how much it takes to be this strong. You know what I mean? But we get weak, we get tired, we get battered when we're fighting the same storm, for 14 days. And it doesn't seem like it's going to give us a break. Guys, I want you to know, you need to be encouraged that God doesn't want you living in a storm forever. That's the good news. We may have a storm that may last 6 months, a year spiritually in our lives. Lord, that is a long time. But just know that God doesn't want you to stay there. There are ways that He's going to get you out of that storm. Number one, first thing I want you guys to do to strategize how to survive a storm is to stay on the ship. Are y'all like, Damon, that's kind of smart, you know? I thought of that one. I could do that. Acts 27, verse 29 and 31. 29 says, fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. That's some smart people, right? It's so bad, we don't know when we're going to hit the land. We can't see anything. Let's just drop anchors. Let's just hold tight, and let's pray for daylight so we can figure out which way to go, right? So they prayed for daylight. And look how long this endurance, this perseverance lasted. Y'all ready? Verse 29 says they what? They prayed for daylight. Verse 30 comes, in an attempt to escape from the ship. You guys get that? First they prayed for daylight. We're going to hunker down, wait for daylight. In the very next scripture, they say, in an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. That's the sneaky people you got to worry about. You know what I'm talking about? Like, hey, we're just going to lower the anchors right here. Why do I see the lifeboat going down and people lining up on the edge of the boat? What's really going on? Pretending. And I just want to share with you this morning, you know, maybe you're new at Fellowship Church. You've been here a couple times. Maybe this is your first time. I just want you to know, come as you are. We are real people. Like, touch the person next to you. Come on, go ahead and touch them. In an appropriate manner, touch them on the shoulder, touch the person in front of you, really make them feel awkward and uncomfortable. Now, if you do like this on the back of their neck, it'll really feel awkward. If they blush, you know, get their number. I'm just joking. But just think about this, guys. Pretending. I don't want you pretending that you got your life put together here. We are broken people. We are people that have junk. That was your chance. If you've been messing around with junk, that's your chance to say amen. Come on, give a little spiritual, you know, amen here and there. So if you're here, just know that we don't expect anyone to be perfect except Jesus Christ, the only one that has ever been perfect and continues to be perfect. But we don't want you pretending. It's okay to not be okay. How does that make you feel? It's okay to not be okay. But, y'all knew I had a but coming. But God loves you enough that He doesn't want you to stay not okay. He has a solution. He has a plan. He has a future. Well, I'd like to know it. You're in the right place. You're opening up the right book to find out how you're going to get out of the sticky situation you may be in. So pretending, please don't pretend. Verse 31 says, then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, everybody say stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. So they prayed in verse 29. We want daylight. Verse 30, the very next thing they're doing, they're trying to abandon ship. They're trying to lower down the lifeboats. I look at the lifeboats as a backup plan. How many of you guys have a backup plan when things won't go the way you want them to go? Think about this. I don't know what you're talking about. What about when things aren't going well on your job, you're not getting the raise you want, you know, there's a lot of things you're nitpicking, but you have a backup plan. you already have this other job waiting on you, and you're kind of just going back and forth from employer to employer trying to see who you can milk the most money out of. You guys get where I'm going? A lot of you are like, well, Damon, that's awesome. That's natural. That's what I should do. Well, maybe this way. But this way, we have to know that God is the one that brings about promotion. And if we're going to do things in a little crooked manner and not be honest, we're probably going to get what that deserves in some fashion or the other. Make sense? Another backup plan could be you're in a relationship, whether you're married or you're engaged, or there's some sort of level of commitment, but yet you are engaged or you're involved in conversations with other ladies or other men that not everyone really knows about, actually. Make sense? You have a backup plan, because what if me and so-and-so really don't work out? I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be lonely. No raising hands. I was that person. I'll just be honest. I've said it before. When I got married to Brandy, which we're celebrating 24 years next year, when I walked out of the church, we were walking. I'm walking my bride-to-be, the woman of my life. I'm walking out, and I'm crying as I'm leaving the church. So many people were touched by that. Look at Damon. He is just so genuine. And I'm going to be honest with you. Honestly, I was crying because I just said I have to be faithful to this one female the rest of my life. Now, I'm being honest. You can judge me and say, what kind of pastor are you? I was nowhere near a Christian. I was standing next to a Christian, but I was not a Christian. You guys follow me? Because I always wanted a backup plan. Always wanted a backup plan. What is your backup plan? Well, I'm going to give this much of my life to God, but if he doesn't twinkle his nose the way I want, I'm going back to my old life. Does that make sense? Well, I'm going to trust God with my finances, but I'm promising you, if I don't get Ed McMahon at my door next week, I'm not tithing again. I got a backup plan. You know what I'm talking about. And I can't give you all kind of different scenarios. You know in your heart, the Holy Spirit's revealing. What is your backup plan other than trusting God? Other than trusting God. I think about whenever we were being sought to come to Fellowship Church for me to be the youth pastor in 2007. I think the end of 2007, early 2008. Brandy and I had stable jobs, both 8 miles, 9 miles from our home. Our new home, we lived in it 6 months, whenever Fellowship Church started calling us. And we were settled, man. We had it made. We loved it where we were, still around 2 hours away from our in-laws and the rest of our family. How many of y'all live next door to your family? Yeah, it's nice, a little distance, right? Amen. So, but anyway, we had it perfect. And we were like, okay, God, we don't really know Fellowship Church. It's like 10 hours away, 8.5 hours, depending on. I don't really want to sell everything I have. This house we just built, our dream home, dream property, never have neighbors, deer, animals, you name it. We don't want to just move because church people are messed up. Seriously, they are. So we were like, okay, we're going to rent our house out. Yeah, right. How are you going to rent out a brand smack custom-built home? You don't trust anybody coming to small group at your house, let alone sell or rent your house out. So anyway, we fought with that, man. We fought with God, actually. I'm like, God, how do we hold on to? We want a backup plan. I'm not going to go to Florida and work for this church and something go wrong and I'm not be able to come back to my house, my bed. You got what I'm saying? And one night, Brandon and I were staying up late. We're praying. We began crying out to God. God, what do you want us to do? And God gave us a piece to sell our home. And I'm like, this is ludicrous. You are insane. There's no way, God, you're calling me to do this. And at the same time, I was struggling with this. I was reading a book called Seizing Your Divine Moment by Pastor Erwin McManus. I think he's out in California. And he was really stressing this story, how I forgot which war it was, but they sailed ships, and when they landed on the island, the captain had everyone unload everything. We're going to conquer this island, and then the captain had all the ships set on fire. This is a true story. Everything was lost. There was no way to leave this island. Why did the captain do this? Because he wanted his men to understand there's no going back. There's no backup plan. You better handle business. You want to live? You better conquer this island. And at the same time I'm reading this, God's putting me in the same position. You guys know what I'm talking about? I couldn't have a backup plan. I couldn't. So just think about yours, okay? Unless these men stay with the ship, they cannot be saved. Galatians 6:9 says this. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." You know, sometimes it takes more faith to stay in the ship than it does to jump out and abandon ship. I don't feel comfortable jumping out of any boat in the ocean. You know what I'm saying? It takes a lot of faith for me to jump out and swim to shore when I can't see shore. Stay in the boat. What is the boat, Pastor Damon? The boat is God's will. Stay in the ship. What is the ship? The ship is God's will. How do I know God's will? Read His word. Pray. Earnestly listen. Test some of the things that come across your mind and you believe is God. Line it up with God's word and you'll see whether or not it's God actually leading you to do that. Verse 32 says, "So the soldiers cut the rope that held the lifeboat and let it drift away." So first they were going to pray in for daylight. Then they were going to lower, they were lowering the boats and they got busted. So, you know, God's like, and Paul's like, "Hey, you got to cut the ropes. You got to let go of your backup plan." And that the boats were their backup plan. One way to also look at a backup plan is something called FOMO. Anybody know what FOMO is? It has nothing to do with a phone and a mobile phone. FOMO is fear of missing out. I didn't even know I had that disease when I was a young person. Fear of missing out. You want to have your hand in seven different things or places or ways because you have a fear of missing out on that one thing. You guys get where I'm going? And that's why people end up having multiple relationships, because they're scared. They have fear of missing out. That's not a good lifestyle. Or maybe they have investments in certain areas instead of just keeping focused on specific ones that are promised or guaranteed that you'll get something back. They have a fear of missing out, and they end up gambling. They end up putting more at stake than they maybe should not have because fear of missing out. Cut the ropes. Cut the ropes of your past. And that's one thing I've seen as well, is whenever we do not cut the ropes, our lifeboats, our backup plans, and many times it's our past life or the way we used to live before coming to know God and His Word. It could be, you know, think about those people who have suffered great loss as a result of not cutting the rope. I think about people who have chemical dependencies, those who are addicts, those who struggled with something and it dominated their life, and they get clean by whatever method they have been able to do that. But the best thing to do if you're someone who is a recovering addict is to cut the ropes. Because if you're still connected or around the people that you did that with, guess what is going to happen? Your backup plan will always be available. My backup plan is, if I cannot stay clean, I'm just going to go all out. If I'm going to be a druggie, I'm going to be a druggie. Does that make sense? It could be as easy as mindsets and attitudes. I want to have a better year. I want to have a better outlook on life. I want to be more positive. I'm tired of being negative Nancy. Nancy, if you're here, I'm sorry. I'm not saying you're negative, but it just rhymes. It goes together, right? But think about that. We want to turn over a new leaf. We want to be a new person, right? Well, if you still keep part of your old ways, you're not cutting the ropes. Think about those who are, you know, involved in adultery or extramarital affairs. It's because they don't want to cut the rope. Fear of missing out. You know, and people get hurt. And like I said, people suffer as a result of not cutting the ropes. People die. I've known people that have been killed by the husband because they found out about the extramarital affair. It doesn't end well. I knew fishermen that were out fishing and the anchor was down and they didn't cut the ropes when a storm came and it took the boat under and lives were lost as a result of not cutting the rope. You guys follow me? Second strategy is to be still and chill. I know a lot of you are like, "Man, where's the theology in that? That doesn't sound really deep. That doesn't sound spiritual." It's coming. Be still and chill. Tell the person next to you that has ADD and can't stay still. Just say, be still. And chill, man. I tell that to my son all the time. Just be still. Shut up. Chill, man. So Acts 27, verse 33 through 34, you guys, be still and chill. It's not much theology, Pastor Dan. Doesn't sound deep. Here it is. Acts 27, 33 and 34. Just before dawn, Paul urged them to all eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense. You've been in constant suspense. You've been in constant chaos, constant stress, anxiety, and you have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything, verse 34 says. Now I urge you to take some food. Eat it. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. I own two boats, and I still lose hair. Do you own a boat? Do you own a boat? Think about this. For 14 days, he said, you guys haven't eaten, you haven't taken care of yourself, you're not sought after your own health and making sure that you're clear-minded and that you're energized. He said, you have been in constant suspense, constant panic mode, constant drama. You've gone without food. Let's look at this spiritually. What about whenever we get really stressed out? We're in a storm, right? We're in a storm spiritually, and we're so wrapped up in this storm that we do not take care of ourselves. We do not nurture ourselves spiritually. So not only is our physical side of life chaotic and things just aren't working out and it's very, you know, turbulent, but then our spiritual side is sucked up by the physical side because we haven't been taking care of ourselves spiritually. Then you find your inside, your heart, your soul, your spirit, all that is just in turmoil. It's just a wreck. You don't know which way is up, which way is down, which way is left, right, north, south, west, east. You just don't know where you are spiritually. Guys, that's the time where you need to heed Paul's word. And he says, listen, you need to be still and chill. Get back in God's word. Get back in that time of prayer and listening for God. Many times I have people that I counsel and they're like, you know what? This is happening in my life and this is going on. This is going wrong. And I just don't want to. I'm fixing to give up. And I'll ask them, hold on. How's your relationship with God? What? Yeah, but that has nothing to do with my relationship with God. Yes, it has a lot to do with your relationship with God, because if you're stressed out and things are just going bad, you're not able to see through God's lens that this just may be a small, small thunderstorm. It's not Irma. It's just like literally a 15-minute thunderstorm, and you're freaking out. You want to abandon life, abandon marriage, abandon relationship, abandon church, abandon your job, abandon your children, whatever the case may be. It's just a small little bitty storm. Don't freak out. You guys follow me? I learned something in the last 40 years that I've been alive. I did a lot of research and studying this particular process, and I've come to this long-awaited yet very painful conclusion. You guys ready for this? Worrying and panicking do not solve the problem. I think I should put this on CNN, honestly. Like, worrying and panicking, according to all of my studies and the things that I've walked through and I've taken some notes, it does not solve the problem. Worrying and panicking, they won't even stop the storm. Amen? Y'all getting lost. Y'all don't like this message. That's no problem. I think about my sister, Dawn, who has gone through a lot, my baby sister, going through a lot in the last 8 months to 2 years probably. And a huge, huge bad episode happened. And I said, Dawn, you need to just worry about your spiritual well-being. Yeah, but I gotta find out who broke into my house. I gotta find out why they did this to me. I'm gonna get them back, and I'm gonna make sure that justice is served. And no, you don't need to fool with them people. You need to cut the rope. You don't want that lifeboat hanging around you anymore, because it's deception, it's bondage. It's trickery. It's witchery. You need to cut the rope. Forget about it. Let God, you're God's child now. You've given your life to him. Don't worry about trying. God's got that. He's got that whole issue. I've said it time and time again. Only worry. Only focus. Only give your efforts to your spiritual well-being. Take a staycation. Instead of trying to figure out what's going wrong, why is it going wrong, why, who caused the storm, who's part of the storm, who's fanning the storm, who's throwing items across the room like a storm, instead of trying to figure it out, just stay. Just be still, get up in God's presence, and chill. Luke 12, 25 through 26 says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Verse 26 says, since you cannot do this very little thing, how many of you have understood or figured out how to add an hour to your life? How do I do that? We don't know how. But yet, he says, if you figure out how to do this little small thing, then you can worry about the rest of your life. But if you can't figure that out, why worry? Why worry about the rest? Amen? Worrying, stress, panicking only produces bad in your life. Psalm 36, verse 10 says, he says, be still and know that I am God. Does your translation say no? Or does it say hope? Or does it say think? Be still and know that I'm God. See, you can be chill when you know that he is God and he's got your six. You can relax. You can know. You can be still and chill when you know that God's got your back. Because if you don't know that God has your back, then guess what happens? Stress and anxiety begins to manifest and begins to grow. But I want you to know that God can encourage you even in the midst of the storm. How many of you were encouraged this week, even amidst Irma hanging out? Wow, look at this. Look who you're surrounded by. That's encouraging. That's encouraging to be surrounded by people who still chose to look through the lens of positivity rather than negativity. So God is a God who encourages. I think about ways to encourage myself, and I'm an acronym kind of guy. And I think about Irma. Oh, Irma. Big Irma. Irma. I-R-M-A. And I'm preaching about being still and chill. How about this? How about I release my anxiety? I release my anxiety. You see, whenever Irma came through, I didn't really sleep that night. I might have slept 30 minutes here. I was up for 2 hours. I slept another 40 minutes. I was up for 2 hours. Anybody else with me? I live in a mobile home, you know, and if the Lord sought to take us, I was cool with that, but I didn't want it to hurt. I didn't want to have like a sheet of metal through one side and a 2x4 sticking out this ear, and I'm having to give my kid a hug goodbye. No, that's not how I wanted it. But I was still a little bit worried, you know. I was still concerned, right? Anybody else that way all that night? And what was so funny is we wake up the next morning, and it's daylight. It was like 8 o'clock something, 7:30, and I could tell it was like a really still, calm environment outside. And I walk outside and go check on the dog and feed him and all that in the shed, and I'm like, we're in the eye of this thing. Hallelujah. That's the worst. I'm excited. And the kids wake up and I'm like, how were y'all last night? What do you mean? I never heard a thing. I'm like, you what? I slept straight through all night. I'm like, seriously? Brandy, what did you give them? You know? But it's people who don't worry and don't stress. They what? They just sleep right through the storm. How many of you guys slept right through the storm? We had we had a few evacuees here at the church, and I spoke with one the next day, a couple days later, and they were like, man, it started coming in that night. I laid down on my bed. I didn't hear a thing till I woke up the next morning. I slept right through it. I'm like, must be nice. Must be nice. Must be nice. But guys, worrying, I release my anxiety. Verse 36 of chapter 27. They were all encouraged and ate some food. So Paul said, look, guys, you got to take care of yourself. You got to be still and chill. And it says right here in verse 36 that they ate, and now they became encouraged. Listen, the storm was still there. The waves were still beating and pounding the boat. The winds were still there. The rain was still there. But yet now, because they ate, because they took care of themselves, because they were still and they chilled, guess what happens? They became encouraged. They became encouraged. One thing I like that Joyce Meyer says, she says that worrying is a down payment on a problem you may never have. I like that. I like that. See, because when you make a down payment on something, you've committed to it. Right? That's how they get you. You can buy this car for $129 a month. $129 a month. Push, drag it in, whatever you got to do. We'll give you top dollar, $129 a month. But they want you to give that little down payment. Because when you give a down payment, what happens to the rest is you owe us every month for the next 7 years. You guys follow me? So the same way with worrying, being stressed out and anxious about certain things, it's a down payment on a problem you may never even have. That's deep. Tell your neighbor, say, that's deep. I like that. That's deep. So, guys, when you begin to worry about something, just step back and say, you know what? Is this something? Do I want this problem? Do I want to nurture, nurse? Do I want to take care of this problem for the next year, the next 4 years? If you don't want to commit to that, don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about it. Let God walk you through it. Amen? Get your focus back on Christ, because once you get your eyes on Christ, instantly you become encouraged. Because when you look at your storm, and you put your eyes on Christ, your storm is trivial. It's really, really tiny compared to the cross. Think about the suffering people have to go through a real storm. It's really small in comparison to paying for the sins of all humanity. Does that make sense? So when we think about our storms, let's put our focus back on Christ, because we will go through the storm with God's hand upon us. Amen? The third strategy is praise God in the middle of the storm. The third storm survival strategy is to praise God in the middle of the storm. Verse 35 in Acts chapter 27, after he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. Well, Pastor Damon, I was in the middle of a storm this week, and we broke bread and we ate, and we ate too much. But I want us to focus on he gave thanks to God. I'm going to categorize that as he praised God. I'm just imagining myself in that boat. People are being slung from one side to the other. You got Joe on this side puking up stuff he ate when he was a baby. You know what I'm saying? That's how bad he had motion sickness. Green, you got this other one, you know, bumped his head. He's got blood everywhere. It's pretty hectic on that boat. You've already gotten rid of all the things you value, all your cargo. You got rid of the ship's equipment that you need to land and secure it later. All that's gone. And yet, Paul says, look, y'all need to eat. Y'all need to be still and chill. And then he takes time and he thanks God. He praises God in the middle of this storm. How many of y'all would just jerk that bread out of his hand? We're not going to praise God right now. Let me eat so I can die real quick. You know, we don't want to praise God while we're in the middle of the storm. We don't want to thank God that we're in the middle of a storm. You think about people who are celebrities, or, you know, whether they're, you know, artists musically or they're sports figures. When they get up on stage, like, you watch them, you know nothing about their life demonstrates or exemplifies Christ, right? Or God in that manner. But yet they thank God. I'd like to thank God for blah, 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 blah. And I'd like to thank God. I'd like to thank, you know, the almighty power, whatever the case they use. It's easy to me for us to thank God when we're making millions, when we're famous, when we have a Bugatti parked outside. It's okay. It's easy to thank God for that, right? But what about those of us who, you know, we driving like gremlins and pintos, right? And we won't get a trophy for anything because, you know, we just, it's hard to thank God at those times. It's hard to thank God when you got holes in your roof and you got holes in your floor. It's hard to thank God for some people, right? But for others, extremely grateful. About a year and a half ago, this family donated a truck to the church to ship to Haiti. It was a truck that had over 200,000 miles. It was beginning to give some significant problems that would keep you mad. So they just parked it. And after about a year of that, they said, you know, we'll go ahead and donate it to the church. I'll ship it to Haiti. And I tell you what, when that truck got there, it has not stopped. Not one day with bringing us around to do mission work there the week that we were there. They're hauling food. They're hauling water to people before the hurricane got there, hauling water to people. And that's what it's going to be, a water transportation business. So things that we need to understand is, you know what? What may seem like a storm, areas of my life where I seem like it's just not getting better, it's not looking good, like this truck I'm talking about, praise God in the middle of it. Thank God for it in the middle of it, and you'll see God work out a miracle. You got that? Praise God. Praise God. Psalm 42:11 says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Because I lost my job. That's why I'm disturbed. That's why I'm downcast. Because my child is being bullied at school. That's why I'm disturbed and downcast. And for some people, unfortunately, I have cancer. That's why I'm downcast. That's why I'm disturbed. You get me? And yet it's still hard to find that place in your life to praise God in the middle of it. Why so disturbed within me, the psalmist writes. And the second half of 11 says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Yet, for I will yet praise him. Yet I will praise him. Yet I will praise him. You guys, have you seen those yet I boxes? I never saw, I mean, I've been on this world a while, and I've seen little fads come out. You remember parachute pants, right? You remember bandanas. You remember, like, all the Chinese or Japanese bandanas, and it was Karate Kid, like, fanatics all over the world. Rednecks were wearing Karate Kid bandanas back then with cowboy boots and a karate suit. It was hilarious. But there's different fads. You got the fidget spinner that just, you know, is dying, thank goodness. But you got things that just these fads. And I think about the Yeti box. Like, I never thought you would drive around with a Yeti cooler on the back of your truck to communicate a status level. Does that make sense? Like, people dog their trucks. And if you see a Yeti box on the front of a boat, it's like they got money, right? And then they came out with the Yeti cups. The stainless steel, they're vacuum sealed. And y'all are like, Damon, it's not Yeti, it's Yeti. But guess what? I want us to think of it this way. I got y'all. It says right here that my soul is downcast. I'm burdened. I'm stressed out. I'm anxious. Yet I will praise the Lord. Yet I. Everybody say, yet. I, yet I, yet I cooler. What if we as Christians, in the face of a storm, in the face of opposition, in the face of no air conditioning or electricity for a week, yet I will praise the Lord. You will see your faith grow substantially when you can yet I share with your neighbors, yet I will praise the Lord. Y'all still trying to figure that out. That's okay. Huge tree has fallen in my yard. It's on my neighbor's property. It's going to cost me thousands of dollars to get fixed. Yet I will praise the Lord. Well, I lost a week's worth of pay on my job. Yet I will praise the Lord. You guys feeling me? My dog doesn't love me anymore. Yet I will get another one. You know, no, yet I will praise the Lord. My wife doesn't love me anymore. Yet I will get another. Yet I will praise the Lord. Guys, listen, when we learn how to praise God in the middle of a storm, you will see sunlight again. You begin to see it. But when you get so bound up and just being encompassed and down about the storm and never really trusting God that he's going to bring you through it, yet I will praise him. The bridges on the way to my house are closed down. I can't get to work on time. I got to leave an hour and a half earlier. Yet I will praise the Lord. I started premarital counseling 2 weeks ago, the week before the hurricane, with a couple whose the husband is from Haiti and the wife is or the wife to be is from here, and they met on while she was on mission out there, and they're getting married next month. Phenomenal. It's all God, just great relationships. They're both parents and families, just love all each other, just phenomenal family. But she was diagnosed with something that is not the best thing any woman wants to hear a month before she gets married. Something that is deadly. It literally broke my heart. And it still breaks my heart to this moment. Because we don't know what the future holds when you look at the evidence, the physical evidence. But I know this person well enough that in her heart, yet I will praise the Lord. How can you worship a God that allows this to happen to you? Because this life is but a vapor. It may seem like a long, grueling process, and there's areas of it that stinks and it's rough. But I know that I was made for a purpose, and I'm doing my best to accomplish that at this moment. Yet I will praise the Lord that I may be in this position right now. yet I will praise the Lord. I think God likes that yet I-ness. What about you? I'm believing God for a miracle in this young lady's life. I really am. 25 years old. I'm believing God for a miracle in this young lady's life because she will be due and diligent to worship God through it all. Sometimes you have to praise through until you get that breakthrough. Come on, write that down. Sometimes you got to praise through until you get to the breakthrough. Don't let a storm silence your praise. You know how you're all excited, you love Jesus, you're putting stuff on Facebook. I'm excited, I'm on fire for God. God's going to do great things in this storm we're in. But then after 14 days of being shipwrecked, you're like, no, I'm just not going to be praising God anymore. I'm not going to quote any more scripture. I'm just going to, people, no. Listen, don't let the storm silence you. Don't let the difficulties of life close your glory giver. That's your glory giver. And if you're always talking about your problems and your storms, you're giving glory to your problems and your storms. Let the power of your words, the life behind your tongue, bring things that are of God, giving glory to God through it all. I know it's difficult. It takes a number of storms to go through before you can joyfully give God glory and praise in the middle of a storm. Acts 27:41, we're closing up. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. Tell your neighbor, broken to pieces. Come on, tell him. Say, look, tell your neighbor, this message is really not for me. Tell him. But you really need to take note. Broken to pieces. Broken to pieces. Has your life seemed like it's been broken to pieces? Broken to pieces. Well, listen, this is a survival strategy. Number four, the last one, is God can take you to your destination on broken pieces. Praise God, my jalopy gremlin car is going to make it to the car lot. God will take you to your destination on broken pieces. Can you imagine being on that ship? Aiden and I were watching Jaws, like all the sequels, like it was Jaws, Jaws 1, Jaws 2, Jaws 3. I'm like, dude, give me a break. But I noticed something. Every time people would be in this boat or a wooden boat, and Jaws would come up and just hit it, all those just noises you don't want to hear when you're in a boat, right? And water stunts coming in, and then, you know, Jaws comes up and he bites the boat. And I'm just thinking about these guys in this ship with Paul, you know, sailing in the Mediterranean, and the boat is literally coming to pieces. You run up on a sandbar. I've seen boats on sandbars. It's not a pretty deal. It's not a pretty deal at all. It's even worse when they run up on oyster reefs. Oh, yeah. Yeah, baby. No more prop, no more skeg, lower unit of your motor's gone. You better flip your boat upside down and ride it like that because it's going to take water. But what I'm getting at is this stern was broken to pieces. Trying to praise God in the middle of the storm, and now things are just beginning to fall to pieces. Have you been that person? Have you been there? God, I'm just going to worship you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to depend on you while I'm going through this storm in life. But you're just... it's forever, and you can't see that things are going to get better. And you want to give up. You want to give up. Just falling to pieces. Things aren't looking better. They don't even look like they're coming back together. Instead, they just seem to be falling apart even more so. I have some real dear friends who gave me a call Friday, and they said, Damon, can you come and help us board up windows on our home? And the bottom of the house has a walk-around porch all the way around. It's not a strenuous activity to hang plywood there, but they have a two-story house, and that's why they were calling me to help hang plywood on the second story with an extension ladder with wind, because this is on Saturday. So we boarded up the house. Why did they want their houses, the windows boarded up? Well, because they were in Miami whenever Hurricane Andrew came through, and when you start hearing that a hurricane is coming straight for your house in High Springs, North Central Florida, you begin to worry. You begin to feel some of those same levels of anxiety and panic that you did 20-something years ago. rough. And she began to cry on the phone while I was on the phone with her, and I was able to calm her down. She was like, thank you, Damon, thank you. It must be that pastoral voice. I'm like, no, this ain't the pastoral voice calming you down. It's just, we're going to take care of it. We're going to get it boarded up. It's not a problem. You know, you're not going to get 130 mile an hour winds unless a tornado comes, but that's real slim. Boards on your windows won't help. She didn't like that part, but so you go through that whole episode, that stress, that anxiety, and you get everything boarded up. The hurricane passes through. You don't sleep. You don't have water. They just got power on yesterday. No water, no anything. That's rough, right? That's not all of it. They have a lake house that they totally forgot about before the storm. So they drive out to go check out the lake house, and it's the boat came out of the closed-in boat dock that was on a lift. The water came up at the lake so much that it pushed the boat through a metal wall onto the property, destroyed that whole area of that boathouse. And he's like, man, we just never thought about that. We never thought about that. As if that's not enough, they wake up Saturday morning, I think it's Friday morning, and one of their pets passed away through the night. Can we say a storm for this family, or at least for the woman? A storm. A storm. It's not looking better, Pastor Damon. Everything's falling to pieces. Let's read our last verse. God can take you to your destination on broken pieces. You can make it. Verse 43 says, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept him from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. Who in their right mind is going to do that? Naomi, next time we get rough in the water, you can swim, right? He said, yes. Get out of the boat. Start swimming. That would be crazy, right? And that's what he did. They told the soldiers, hey, if you can swim, you need to get out and start swimming now. Make it to land. Verse 44. Here's the key, guy. Here's how we can make it. Verse 44 says this. The rest were to get there on planks and other pieces of the ship. I'm here to tell you this morning, you may be going through a storm. Your family may be going against some serious storms. Not so much physically out here, but maybe in the home. Maybe there's some tension. Maybe there's some unforgiveness. Maybe there's some ought. Maybe there's issues going on now. Huge storms. Listen, it says right here in verse 44, in this way, everybody say in this way, everyone reached land safely. The boat of life that you're in may be battered. It may be stuck in a sandbar. The stern, the back end may be broken into pieces. Hold on to the right piece and you'll make it to the land. So many of us, when our life begins to fall apart in a storm and we break down, we are so quick to hold on to things that are not going to bring us to our destination. It could be alcohol. It could be relationships. It could be money. You guys follow me? It could be drugs or it could be whatever. You hold on to the things that aren't going to get you to the destination that God wants you to get to. So when you feel like your ship is sinking and it's falling to pieces, I'm telling you from the depths of my heart, you grab a hold of the right plank. You grab a hold of the right piece of the boat, and God will get you to safety. He'll get you to land. Amen? Don't let your life fall to pieces and reach out for the old habits, the old actions. They will bring you exactly where you landed. And for some of us, it was jail. For some of us, it was a divorce. For some of us, it was a disease you can't get rid of. Don't go back. Cut those ropes. Grab a part of the ship that you believe will guarantee you to get you where God wants you to be. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you love us so much so that you do your best, God, to keep us in your will. You reveal to us, God, which path to take. And I know many may disagree and say, I can never see where God wants me to go. I just haphazardly make choices, and they just seem like the wrong ones every stinking time. Well, listen, that just means you need to spend a little more time in His Word. That means you need to spend a little more time in prayer without the distractions. That means you need to fast so that you can get past all the other voices, all the other noises, and begin to hear the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, sharing with you which path to take, which decision to make. Father, I pray for someone that is here this morning. Although they may have gone through Irma, unscaled, didn't even lose electricity, they don't feel anything like other people feel here who have been without electricity and water, and it's just been real inconvenient, God. But Father, in their life, they are going through a storm. Maybe there's a marriage that's literally on the rocks, literally on the jetties of life, and they feel like their marriage is being battered and broken into pieces. Lord, would they not come here pretending this morning? Would they not leave here pretending? But God, would they reach out to You, asking You to rescue them from where they are? God, I pray that right now, this morning, they are able to see the backup plans that they have. You've told Your people, You've told people what to do and where to go, how to do it. But Lord, they're still holding on to certain backup plans, certain lifeboats. Reveal to them, Lord, that they need to stay on the ship. They need to be anxious about nothing, but rather and yet trust God, trust You, that You're going to get them to the destination that You want them, whether it be in a perfectly fine boat, a perfectly fine vessel, a ship, or it may be through a storm, and it may be by just a corner or two planks of the battered ship, but they're going to make it there. So if that's you this morning, I want you to lift up your hands. No one's looking around. Everyone's praying. They're listening for the voice of God. Lift your hands if you feel like you are in the stormy waters. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. In the stormy waters. We're going to pray for you right now. God, I pray right now. Just as Jesus spoke to the stormy winds, God, I pray that You would begin to show Your people, Your men, Your women, Your sons and daughters right here. Show them, God, that You know what's going on in their life. You know the winds that are hitting them. You know the waves of life that are just treacherously beating them. God, I pray that they would understand You are with them. You are with them. God, may they be able to hear Your voice louder than the voice of reason. May they be able to hear Your voice louder than the voices of the enemy. May they be able to hear, God, Your voice louder than even the closest person to their life. God, they want to hear Your voice. So right now, would You speak into them, showing them left or right, backwards or forward, which step to take, how to do it, starting today, in Jesus' name. Make your journey to land in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for those who have been struggling this week with depression. God, I pray that You would set them free this morning, right now, never to deal with it again, in Jesus' name. We thank You, God. For those of you who don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. If you've never called upon Christ, genuinely called upon God to be your Savior, your rescuer, I want you to lift up your hand if you want to do that here today. You've never called upon God and you want Him to be in your life. Just lift up your hand. Lift up your hand and say, I want to know this God. I want to walk with Him. I want to experience His love, His power. Thank You so much. Father, we thank You for our time and Your Word this morning. God, would You be with us the rest of this week? Show us, God, people that we can help, lives that we can continue to touch. No one has to travel all the way to Texas to help victims. But God, we can travel just a few miles away from our own home, our own community, Lord, to support and to help and to pour out compassion upon those who have suffered either a loss or destruction of their home or property, God. Show us where to go and who to help. And let us do that starting today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.